What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Seven Figure Flipping Podcast. This is Bill Allen. On today's show, I got a good friend of mine, Justin Colby. He is a real estate coach. He's done thousands of houses over his time in real estate since 2007. So been in the game way longer than me, done almost three times the houses. And we have an awesome conversation about real estate, analyzing properties, finding deals, belief, mindset. You're really going to enjoy this.
My name is Bill Allen, and I'm the leader of a group of elite house flippers and wholesalers called Seven Figure Flipping. We don't brag or show off our success, but instead let integrity and stewardship be our guide. We are dedicated to helping people unlock the freedom they desperately need. If you ask other real estate investors, they will say to keep your secrets quiet. But we believe in abundance, not scarcity. And that's why we are the elite. We are Seven Figure Flipping, and this podcast is our playbook.
What's up, everybody? I have got a really exciting show for you today. I've got a really good friend of mine, somebody I've known for a few years. We've been kind of in different mastermind groups and meetings together and stuff like that, and got to know each other pretty well, have talked back and forth. And I just really like this guy. Like, it's very rare that, you know, that I'll bring on somebody from outside our community, another coach, a consultant, somebody like that. But when we were talking, I just like, I got to bring you in and share you with my people, because he's got some brilliant things, done some amazing things in his past and his history. And I know that he's probably got some areas where I'm weak that he's really strong, that he can bring some incredible value to you guys on the podcast today. So today I've got my good friend, Justin Colby on the show, and I'm just pumped to get to know him a little bit deeper than I already do. And you guys get to go along for the ride with us. So Justin, welcome.
Bro, appreciate you being here. And I know we talked about this. You don't do this often. And so I'm very honored to be a guest, a special guest to your podcast, brother.
Yeah. And I think I'm excited for it, because even just talking just a few minutes pre-show and the conversations that we had in the past about doing this, it's very obvious, especially just honestly, our last conversation of you saying, you know, there's not a lot of people out there that I feel comfortable talking just very openly about, especially in the coaching space and the info product space and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of flash online and just two real people that there's just not a lot of, like, we don't have anything to prove to each other. It's just really cool to be connected like that. And I'm looking forward to doing more of that in the future.
I can't wait, dude. And I would tell all your audience right now, the closer you can get to Bill, the better you're going to be. Right. I just I've actually been invited to do a keynote, at a really large conference. And the message, the reason why I bring that up is the message is what I'm going to tell you now. Going from good to great is people. And if you surround yourself with the right people, and Bill is the right person, you're just going to go that much further, that much faster. You're going to miss the potholes. You're going to miss the mistakes. And so it really focus on the people first. Everything else will, the systems, the processes, the strategy that comes with the people.
I love it. Well, why don't you tell everybody who you are, a little bit of your background, kind of some of your successes, like your growth, that kind of stuff. I think it'd be important.
Yeah, I've been in the game. I obviously have no more hair, so I've been around for a little bit. Started in 2007. Year to date, this very moment, I'm somewhere around 2,700 deals and counting. I've been wholesaling, fix and flipping, and most recently buying as much commercial as I possibly can. Bill and I are heavy on that right now. Now my whole business is virtual. So I'm flipping virtually, I'm wholesaling virtually, and I'm buying apartments for, I just bought three different apartments this year, all virtually. I bought a storage facility all virtually. And so, this goes back to just having the right processes, systems, and strategy in place with people at the head of that. It's replicatable no matter the market, no matter the economy, no matter the state, no matter the politics. There's just a replicatable system to find deals, analyze deals, and then exit them. Part of the exit could be wholesaling, flipping, or buying them as a rental.
So 2,700 deals. That's honestly, I'm probably around 1,000. I'd say I'm a little over 1,000, me and my company. So that's like three times that. It's almost not even fathomable to somebody who is just getting started. So can you remember your first deal and like the feeling of that? Can you tell that story?
Oh, and you bring up a great point. Like sometimes I catch myself and got to realize like people are trying to get their first deal, right? So I was the exact story that most people are. It took me 9 months to get my first deal. I was broke, busted, and disgusted, meaning I didn't have a marketing budget. I wasn't doing PPC or anything. I was literally cold calling realtors virtually, ironically. I was living on my friend's couch because I just lost my home to foreclosure. The repo man took my car and I had no income. And so I was cold calling realtors because at the time I just figured that's the only place that I can find a deal. It's 2007, right? We didn't know what we didn't know. Like Bill wasn't around. YouTube wasn't around. There was no mentor for me to go get. But it took me 9 months consistently calling 100 realtors a day, every single day. And I would go to Starbucks at the time because Starbucks would allow you to continue to drink free coffee if you stayed in Starbucks. So that was my little hack to just hop up on enough caffeine all day long to essentially eat my bag of almonds all day long. And I got my first deal 9 months later and made a whopping $7,000. At the time I had a business partner. So he took half of that. So let's just say I went from eating top ramen to hot dogs. Let's put it that way, right? But listen, the story continues to go, but I was able to get, the very next month I got my next deal, and that's just the big momentum started to kick in. The effort, the energy, the output I was giving started to finally catch up. So if you're out there listening to this or watching this and trying to like, I need my first deal. Just keep going, right? Keep taking the action. Because man, Bill didn't just make it to be Bill overnight. I didn't do this overnight. And is the key that I say, the four things that are musts is you have to have the belief, just blind faith, the belief, the same way you do in religion. You just need to have the belief you can do this. You need to have the hard work, you need to have failure, and then you need to have persistence. And if you just can put those four together and just keep going, whether it's Bill, whether it's myself, whoever it is can lead you through the process to get there. But the first year, 2 deals, the next year, 6 deals, the next year, 20 deals, the next year, 96 deals, so on and so on. And it just starts to roll as you start to catch momentum. And that's why a lot of people say money makes money, is because when you start to get there, it starts to attract itself. And I'll tell you a quick story. I had no money, as I just told you, but I was actually at a football game, 49ers football game, a diehard Niner fan from San Francisco. And I was in the parking lot slamming a beer, throwing the football around. And I hear my name, Colby. And I look back and it's a childhood friend. What are you up to? Blah, blah, blah. Catching up. He's a fireman. I'm in real estate now. I'm already painting this vision. I'm a big flipper and doing these things in Phoenix. He says, I just got this massive inheritance and I love real estate. I'm a fireman. I don't know what to do with the money. Can I be involved? And that was my first private lender. And it was just because I kept going. I kept talking about it. I kept putting it out there, what I'm doing. I kept being active. And from there, success breeds success. And I started to post these flips and people say, hey man, what are you doing? I want to start being a part of this. And there you have it. But don't worry about being discouraged. It's going to be discouraging. Just keep going. And that's what Bill, myself, or anyone else that's been around long enough, that's what we'll tell you.
I love these four things: belief, hard work, failure, and persistence. And as I look at these, so belief being like blind faith, you said, the thing that I think happens, I'm curious what you think. We've got hard work. So I think that's high very early on, like you're willing to do some hard work. Failure is a little bit scary. Persistence kind of gets bred over time. But belief, I feel like belief was the thing that is probably the hardest to create until you get that first $7,000 check. So like when you mentioned those four things, I'm like, man, in the beginning, probably some of the reason why people quit is because they don't have all four of these things yet. Yeah. So what do you think about that? I'm just curious.
100%. The hardest thing for you or for me as educators, as mentors, leaders, whatever we want to be called, right, is to help people develop the belief factor. It is very difficult, right? Like I tell my tribe, the science flipping tribe, my community, I said, I can get really close to Tony Robbins, but I'm not Tony Robbins, right? Like I can do my best, but you still have to every day look in the mirror and believe you can do it. Because I don't care how many HUDs I show. I don't care, the checks I can show. Even when my community, like we have community members, like I literally just posted a text I got today. I just bought 4 rental properties and I'm showing everyone like, this is the same person. She has a 9-to-5. She's a pharmacist. She just came into the community and just started going. You still need to go home every day and look yourself in the eyes and say, do I believe I can do this? Do I believe it's possible? And that actually is an internal thing that I'm good, but again, I'm not Tony Robbins, right? You need to be able to genuinely believe with every cell of your body you can do it. Because Bill believes in you, I believe in you, but you need to believe in yourself. Because it is just, it's a process, it's a system. And if you just do it, right, it will work. But the belief is imperative.
Yeah, I totally agree. I always say the hardest part is to go from zero deals to one deal.
Yeah, it's like the first million, right? The first million was I was like, am I going to get there, right? You know, and so there's that zero to one, the first million. And I know that sounds big for some people, but zero to one is the hardest, right? But then you get this, you know, that's why I tell people, although I basically tell everyone there's four basic things to do: find the deal, analyze the deal, exit the deal, and raise money. Those are the four. That's it. Right? That's the only four things are to do. I tell people to start by wholesaling. I don't necessarily preach wholesaling like some other people do. I love wholesaling. I wholesale 5 to 15 properties each and every month, all virtually. But I don't only wholesale. That being said, it creates the belief, because it is the fastest way. It is the easiest way to go get a first check. And I'll tell people, I don't care if you make $500, $1,000, $2,000, just create the certainty, create the confidence, create the belief that this is replicatable. And when you do that, something psychologically, like physiologically changes within people, and they just start going. The same person I told you today, like if you go to my Instagram, the Justin Colby, and look at the post today, I don't know when this comes out, but it's just a text thread. She texts me. She was like, Justin, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I just know you're the guy to help me. And she just said, hey, I already bought four deals. I haven't even wholesaled one. I just keep doing the thing you're doing, and every deal looks good to me, so I keep buying it. I'm like, all right, fair enough. But again, to circle back, yeah, zero to one, I would encourage everyone to focus on finding the deal, because then you can just wholesale it, right? Whether you buy it, Bill buys it, I buy it. There's buyers all over the country. Go create the certainty.
Yeah, I like that. After that first deal, the belief goes up. Hard work probably just becomes obvious. You failed enough times to get that first deal. For you, it was 9 months. For me, it was 4.5 months. And then persistence goes up, because that all of these things, the arrow just goes up and up and up. And over time, you keep building on that. The other thing is, I think I've even seen people that have done really well in the business that have a bump in the road and their belief goes down. And they just fall out. They're just like, okay, that's it. Like, I can't do this. Maybe I can't. Yeah. Maybe it was a fluke. Maybe it wasn't. You know, maybe I can't. Maybe I just got lucky. And I've seen that happen too, because that belief is so important, I think.
Well, and sometimes you need, you know, I've had more than my share of, I mean, I've lost multiple seven figures. I lost multiple seven figures on one single deal, which is a development deal I did. I got cocky. Right. The year before, I did 96 flips, successful flips. I made a lot of money, and I just was cocky on my own supply. Right. I bought my own bullshit, and someone brought me this opportunity. And long story short, I lost multiple seven figures on that deal. And that shook me, bro. I was down. But the important part about that is how we started this episode, which was the people. I had my brother Kent Clothier flew in. I didn't even ask him to. He just heard me on the phone one day. Said, something's up with this guy. Let me come on in. He brought like a handful of dudes, all very successful, all people that you know, and just sat us down and just like, guys, this is not the end of Justin Colby, right? Like, this is like, yeah, it's a wound right now, but get your ass back up, because you got a lot of work to do, right? And being able to have a support system, people that understand that, people that have failed bigger than that. I just did an interview on my podcast. Guy lost, David Meltzer. Do you know David Meltzer?
Yeah, that name's very familiar. I don't know.
He lost $100 million. Right. Wow. And so him and I are kind of going back and forth about our wounds, and I go, all right, I'm done talking about my wounds, because I don't that does not even compare. And then he's rebuilt it. Right. And I have rebuilt, you know, my empire from that loss. And that was 2016 or something like that. But you know, listen, again, it goes back to the people. For no other reason, to continue to help you believing in you, to encourage you, to say you do have this, keep going, right? A saying I heard a while ago and just always stuck with me is, you can't win a championship with a clean jersey. And it stuck with me, because you just can't, right? And so if you want something bigger, if you're following Bill, you want something bigger. Bill doesn't play small, right? He goes. And I would tell all of you is it is up to you to create your life, right? And if you want something similar to Bill or bigger than that, then you're going to fail. So be it. Who gives a damn, right? The thing that I always bring up to my community is like when we were children and I just had my second child, he's, you know, 5 weeks old now. And my first child is 3 years old. You know, she just fell off her scooter the other day and scraped her knee and cried for a second, jumped right back on. When she learned how to walk, she fell down all the effing time. When she learned how to swim, she would gasp and choke. And all these things as children, we fail so many freaking times. But we don't know any better, so we keep going and keep trying until we start walking, start swimming, don't fall off our scooter. But somewhere in adulthood, we get, you know, bruised and beaten enough by society, maybe by our parents, not maybe physically, but psychologically, by friends, by that we stop trying. We are fearful of the failure part, and we're willing to live a mediocre life. And everyone watching this and everyone listening, I just encourage you, go and create an epic, awesome life because you deserve it. Not to have fancy things. I love fancy things, but it's more about just deserving an awesome life where you can buy fancy things if you want. But you need to go and create your life because you only get one of them and you deserve it. And to me, it's an obligation. So
what do you think about your back was kind of up against the wall in that first deal in 2007. So you're out of foreclosure. So do you think that's like, do you see people that are more successful because they are like, they have the grit and the determination that they have to, they're kind of forced to have to versus like the plan B people. So like people who are like, I got a full-time job and I just kind of want this. What do you think about that?
The really successful typically have a harder road, right? They usually have found, you know, it's interesting enough. I've been in the coaching space in 2013. I've coached thousands and thousands of people in the real estate space to go get, whether it's their first deal or scale a business, whatever. I have found the ones that really get to the levels, you know, where you and I are playing or higher, typically have a pretty rough go as a childhood. They have a tougher childhood, typically. My story is I had alcoholic mom, alcoholic father, alcoholic stepfather, would wake up in the back of a car at 2 a.m. on a week school night because they're at the bar. They drove, you know, picked me up from my bed, took me into the car just because they needed a drink. You know what I mean? Things like that. And everyone has stories, but I'm finding the older I get, a lot of the really successful people have had a story during childhood and or early, really early on in their adulthood, right? That they needed to find a way to never do that, be that, do that again. Not to take away from those that, you know, have a pretty solid foundation and a job. You know, I have plenty of members in my community that have a W-2 job, don't necessarily need the money. And like I'm just told you about Kua, she, you know, makes plenty of money, multiple six figures, and she's rocking and rolling right now. And I actually see her getting to a place where she'll probably want to quit her job because what's happening. So do I believe she also can reach the highest of highs? 100%. Right. But this goes back to who are you? Like, what are you made up of? Right. And I don't want to judge anyone who's had a harder or easier time during childhood. Like, it's all about what you want to create. Like, back to the belief, do you believe you deserve an epic life? Do you believe it? I don't know. Right. I know I believe it. I know my children deserve that. I know my wife deserves that. And it's up to me in my belief system is the man needs to go create it. I don't care if your wife makes $1 million a year or more. Awesome. But I believe it is also still my job to go make $1 million or more with her, right? To make sure that we're doing that together. That's my belief system. So I think, you got to go through some failure, man. And then you just got to be able to push through, right? I mean, think about how the military pushes you guys and what they do and put you through. And I mean, what about your boot camp? Are you kidding me? Like, I'm not in the military and haven't because I didn't want to go do that. Like that's pushing, right? But when you get through that thing, you're a bad mofo. So
yeah, there's definitely a level of dedication, persistence. There's a little bit of like a washout system, which I think this has too. Like the real world has that too. You've got this, you know, a washout cycle of those mm-hmm. that are going to stick with it over a long period of time. Because one of yours was failure and persistence, right? So those two pieces right there, if you're not willing to fail, like I'm willing to fail more and more often than other people, because and totally. I try new things, test things, you know, pivot to something new and just persist until I succeed. And right. so, you know, I've saw a lot of people in the military kind of get washed out, or when things get hard, they just want to quit or ring the bell or whatever it is. And then you got the people that are willing to persist against this, you know, adversity to keep going. And that's what I see like in market changes, like people that aren't willing to change their strategy or adjust. If you've been in the market since 2007, you've seen lots of different market cycles. Mm. So you've had to adjust your game plan many times probably in order to stay, to keep the belief through failure and persistence through that, I bet.
Brother, you're hitting it on the head. Like the reason I'm able to still be here, right, is because I've been super fluid. I just roll with what's coming around. Now, the older I'm getting, I'm not rolling anymore. I'm actually getting around the curve ahead of like AI, for example. I got ahead of that. I didn't wait for like, is this real? Is this? No. I saw just a little micro and I said, this is, I'm going around. So you and I both know I created Rocketly, a system that you guys actually are using right now. And it's because I needed to be able to stay up with the times. And for me, I didn't want to build a big old business anymore. I was done with that. I want to build multiple businesses with a solid cement foundation on all of them, right? I don't need the flex of, oh, I'm doing 300 deals this year. I don't need that anymore. Now, I might buy 300 doors with you, right? I mean, I might do that, but I don't need the transactional 300 flips, 300 wholesales or any of that. But you know, part of my story is once I started learning how to raise money, I started buying from the courthouse steps, the auction, and I was crushing it, right? We'd buy almost a house a day because I got very good at raising private capital. And that's why it's one of the four pillars: find the deal, analyze the deal, exit, and raise money. And that led to me making a lot of money. But then in Phoenix, the hedge funds came in. Well, you know, I can't compete anymore. They're literally paying a 110 cents on the dollar and I need to be paying 70 cents. You know what I mean? So if I am paying 70 cents and they're paying 110 cents, we went months, literally 6 months without buying a deal. Well, if I'm not buying a deal, that means what? I'm not selling a deal. If I'm not selling a deal, I'm not making any money, right? So unfortunately, that was my first learning curve of like, I needed to pivot a lot faster. So we immediately started buying from wholesalers. That worked really well. And then we got back to calling agents and doing agent outreach. This is way before all the agent outreach that we see today and Jamil and myself and everyone preaching it. Ironically, it's how I started. It was a pivot I had to make, you know, in 2012, 2013. And now I'm back doing it again because it's a very solid way to find deals. Another thing is I was spending at one point, and again, this is all not at the same time. But then at one point when I started to realize I can't be relying on the auction staffs, I can't be relying on wholesalers because they're making 40, 50, 60 grand on a deal I'm buying. I want that in my flip profits. I can't rely on agents because they don't always agree with my valuation. I need to go direct to seller. So I started doing direct mail. So I started with 4 or 5 grand, then 10 grand, then got all the way up to like 60 grand, up to 80 grand in direct mail every single month on my Platinum American Express, baby. That was great. When I had a 1% callback ratio. Well, as we all know what it looks like today, it's like a quarter of 1%, right? Well, so now the math doesn't work out to spend that kind of money on direct mail. So you got to pivot. So then you got to pivot on what kind of direct, you know, strategy you're using to get a hold of the homeowners. Is it cold calling? Is it PPC? We built our own call floor in Phoenix, 20 college kids calling all day, managed by an internal team. Again, I don't need that flex anymore. That was a flex. That was me like, I'm building it myself, blah. But to answer your question, the reason I've been able to do as many deals as I've been able to do is I've been fluid with the times. And now I'm looking around the times. What can I get ahead of? How can I move around and speed up the fact that I can continue doing this? But being fluid is everything. Like interest rates right now, people are all freaked out about interest rates. I could care less. I care less. Like I think it literally went up a full point today or very close. Today, it went up like a full point. Why do I care less? Because I just buy the deals when they're good deals regardless, right? I'm conservative on my underwriting. So if it's a single family asset, I'm looking to buy it either for a flip or a rental. It's got to fit both. If it doesn't fit both, I don't buy it. There are extenuating circumstances that I'm getting such a damn good deal that fine, I'll flip it. It's not a good rental, but I know I'm going to make money. But you know, those are the type of things that, like, even when you and I are talking about doing some of this apartment stuff, and am I all worried about the interest rates? I am not, because I know how to raise capital. I can raise bridge capital. I can raise 1 year, 2 year, 3 year capital. I could raise 5 year capital. I could raise it at 8%, which is cheaper than what our commercial debt would be right now. Like, so I know that I can overcome that. So I don't get all worried about it. It's about finding a really good deal.
Yeah. So as I listen to you kind of talk about pivoting and all the different things that you're doing, if you're newer or you're just getting going, the challenge here is it's very overwhelming to be like, wait, oh, direct mail doesn't work anymore. Oh wait, 1% was good. 0.25% is not good. And now a call floor. The thing that I realize is as you get more experience and as you kind of grow, then you can start actually being innovative and trying to get around the corner, as Justin said. But in the beginning, you've really got to find somebody else to kind of shepherd you along to do that. Because when I was just getting started, my mentor, his name's Andy McFarland, he at all of our mastermind meetings, he'd be like, hey, I'm testing something. I tested in my laboratory first. He had a lot of money. He was doing a couple million dollars a year in his business. And we were all just getting started. And so he was like, let me make sure it works first, and then I'll share it with you. Because he didn't want to give us this new strategy, let us go out there and spend a bunch of money and figure out it's not working. And so the key, I think, is really to focus on something. So like, if you were listening to Justin closely, there were specific things that he was doing in different times. These were the strategies that he was using. And then inside of those strategies, there were tactics that came up. It might be a new software or a new tool or a new thing that made it easier that he would probably bolt onto that. So if you just felt overwhelmed, it's just because you're new. It's totally normal. Like, there's a principle in karate that one of my business coaches told me like years ago, and I really like hinged on it. It's called Shuhari. And so I was not in karate. I don't know anything about like martial arts or anything, but I started studying this just because I thought it was really cool for business. The Shu principle is like, so is three different phases: Shu, Ha, and Ri. And Shu is very much like them just telling you to punch. And you're just like punching over and over, like thousands and thousands of punches, not knowing why you're doing it, but it's building muscle memory. And it's just doing what you're told by the sensei. And then the Ha phase is when you're like putting some of these maneuvers together. You're like taking some of these different things and putting them together to be some sort of movement that now you're starting, but you're still not innovating at all. You're just like taking what you were taught early on and then putting it together. And then the third phase, and it's like the final phase, is the re-phase. So that re-phase is where you start having the possibility to eclipse the sensei. Like you can actually get bigger and do more, and you're starting to become innovative. You're stepping out on your own. You're getting outside of the box that they put you in. So if you think of like the Karate Kid, where he's like painting the fence, you know, and waxing the floor, sanding the floor, and you know, all that stuff. And then he like starts punching him and he's putting it all together. And then eventually he gets to the point where he's like, he starts thinking about this like crazy crane kick or these maneuvers or these things that are a little bit innovative. It's like the phases of that. And so often these days, I feel like people think they know so much because they've read a book or they watched a bunch of YouTube videos, but they weren't in the arena with us, like doing the thing, that they try to put a bunch of people's strategies together on their own instead of just following the leader, where they understand that they need to just do what they're told because Justin knows it, or I know it. Like, we've been through it. I'm telling you to do this, just do it. And you do like 60% of it and then 40% of your own sauce or the other things that you're listening to. Huge mistake. I think the best thing that I did was I listened to my mentor. When he told me how to jump, I just said how high, and I just did.
That's right.
So I don't know all that. I just talked for a very long time. Maybe you have some thoughts on it.
No, you're exactly right. Like, people try to over-engineer it and think that they know more than you and I. And I go, great, how many deals have you done? None. Even if you've done 10, I don't care. Like, you don't know more than me. So respectfully, if you want more, then just do the thing we teach you to do exactly how we teach it without trying to pivot, make it your own. Let me do it kind of my way. I'll do 80% of what Bill says, but then I'll do this 20% my thing. No, we are the people that have what you want, do what you want, have, right? then just follow us. Now, when you get to a certain point to the shuha,
free phase, yeah.
Like, yes, like, have I eclipsed some of my old mentors and have I'm doing more and do, yes, of course. But at the first get go, here's what I would tell all my newbies, listen, focus on one thing, finding the deal. There are three ways that I would tell you to go do it with little to no marketing budget, right? Might cut a couple bucks, but nothing big. Agents, agent outreach, right? Privy is a great resource. I love it. If you have your own MLS, great. If you go to Zillow and just look at listed active listings, great. Okay. Wholesalers, the very fastest way to go get a paycheck, the very fastest is bring a buyer, your buyer, to someone else's deal. Don't be greedy. Don't ask for 50% of it. Don't say, hey, Bill, I have a buyer for your deal, 123 Main Street. I want, you know, let's do a JV 50-50. No, no, no. You're the newbie on the block. Just take a little fee. Say, hey, are you good paying me $2,500 on this, right? Bill might be making 30 grand. But if you're just a newbie, you say, let me just go get my first couple, you know, swings at the bat. Take your $2,500 and be like, oh my God, this is real. That's the fastest way you could do that, right? Don't be greedy. Go get the deal done. And then lastly is you can go get your very own deal direct to seller, but then you just want to be more, you know, now it's work and effort, right? Something like a Privy or not a Privy, but Rockley is something I've developed, or you can pay per lead, right? It can still get expensive. You can cold call a list, you can outbound text, but those are your three ways. The very fastest is going to be bringing a buyer to another wholesaler's deal or working with a realtor. Those are the two fastest.
I really like that. The wholesaler side, like bringing a buyer, I remember the first wholesale deal I ever did, I made $10,000. And the guy that I met at I had no buyers list at that time, like none. And this was kind of, the deal was a little bit high. Like I bought it a little high, as we all know, like that first deal. And I had this guy, he was a Chinese guy that I had met at the RIA, and he said he was buying rentals and he had family members in China that were looking to put money here. And so I called him up and I sat down with him at his house with his family about this deal. And he's like, I think I have a buyer for that. And he's like, would you be okay with me making $5,000? So I still make 10, but he added $5,000 onto it. So he marked it up. It was one of his family members in China that bought the deal cash and then turned it into a rental. They still own it to this day. I just did a presentation at an event, and I was looking at all my individual deals and saw they still own it. And it's worth, I think I sold it for like 70. I think it's worth like 200 now. So these guys are like, yeah, he's really happy. But totally. He made 5K. I made 10K. He was an agent. He did the paperwork. It was awesome. Like,
yeah.
I got my $10,000. My belief goes up. He gets his 5K. The person, you know, his family members got a great deal that he probably made a management fee every single month, managing and putting the tenant in and all that stuff. And that's a great way to make money that I don't know that I've ever actually taught that. I think that's brilliant. So we got the agents, the three ways, agents, wholesalers, direct to seller, which is a perfect transition, I think, because I wanted to go into those four things that you're talking about, finding a deal, then analyzing a deal, then exiting a deal, and then raising the money. So yeah. Anything else on the find portion that you want to, some maybe tactics?
I mean, there's some secret sauces for sure that I have, right? I think there's a way to utilize Facebook that I don't think anyone else is doing right now, that I don't have time to necessarily teach, but is not just going into big Facebook groups and saying, I have a deal or I want a deal. Like there's a real system that we use and we teach that using these Facebook groups in a very specific strategic way can get you a deal for free. Direct to seller, by the way, not through wholesaler. You're going to spend money or you're going to spend time. And the listener to this has got to make a decision on what they're willing to spend. And maybe it's both. Maybe you throw some money at it and throw some time at it, right? But just like my members that have jobs and whatever, they're willing to put forth as much time as they have and spend a little bit amount of money to just speed up the learning curve. The more money you spend, the faster you're going to get a lead, right? Whether it's PPL or PPC or direct mail or cold calling. But no, I mean, there's different ways. There's a bunch of different direct to seller marketing ways. I think anyone looking for the first deal should navigate trying to do a deal through a realtor or bring a buyer to someone else's deal.
Nice. What about the second one? Like analyze. I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. They're like, I don't know what to offer. I don't know how much to do.
This is where finding a deal can be tricky. Because a lot of times when you're starting, you don't even know what the hell a deal is. You're looking at a property and you're like, I don't know what the deal. So what I would also say is understanding how to analyze a deal, right? So you need to be talking to buyers, not necessarily just to bring them to someone else's deal, but to understand how they're buying deals. What is a deal to them? As the market is shifting, as things are changing, what is an actual deal to the buyers in the market? And so finding buyers and just talking to them, asking them questions. Are they still buying properties above 300,000? Because someone like myself, most likely I'm not, because they're not good rentals anymore, right? Could they be a good flip? And if I get it for good enough, yes. But mostly I'm buying homes in the 200,000 or more so I can flip it or keep it as a rental, right? What are the economics that make it a good rental? Some people need to have a, you know, 2% ratio, right? Rent ratio, right? So that's, they're making 2% of the purchase price every single month. Like that's only found in Ohio, essentially, right? And which is great, but then you have no appreciation. So I would never buy in Ohio. I'm not a buyer in Ohio. I like 2%, but I cannot experience any type of appreciation. I want the equity. I want bankability. I want to go. I literally made a post today that says I'm going to go be a billionaire. And I say this outwardly now, and some people are like, ho, 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 Justin. Yeah, but listen, dude, if I get 80% of the way there, I'm doing okay. So I might as well go shoot for it, right? And so, but the point being is it's all about what do you care about? And so for me and probably Bill, we care about the equity piece because we want the banks to be able to give us more and more and more and more money that is a tax-free and gives us an ability to escalate into higher assets, right? So just understanding a buyer is going to be imperative. That helps you analyze the deal. Is it a good flip or is it a good rental? Nowadays, there's three different kinds of rentals though. Right. When we all kind of got started, you and me, Bill, there was just a long-term rental. It's just you rent the damn property. Now you have short-term rentals and you have mid-term rentals. Great example, my house here in Miami. There is a slight chance I move back to Arizona, right? Well, what would I want to do with this multi-million dollar home? Well, the long-term rental game would be okay. I'd probably rent for $8,000 or $9,000 a month in a long-term lease. But I might be able to get like 25 if I do a mid-term lease, right? Where you know, someone's house blows off during a hurricane and the insurance needs to pay for something and you have a rental that's up there for 30 day blocks, they'll pay for your rental and pay a premium for it because it's a family of six, right? Well, I can get a premium for that, okay? So you have to understand how to analyze these deals. So if you don't even know how to analyze a deal, you need, first of all, I'm going to plug you, Bill. You need a coach. Get a coach. If you've been circling Bill, trying to figure out whether you should join his community, join his damn community, because you need to understand how to analyze a deal, right? And so I would tell you guys that, like understanding how to analyze whether it's a flip or long-term, short-term, or mid-term rental, imperative. Easiest way to do that, talk to the buyers. Understand what the buyers are buying, how they're buying, then you'll know, right?
That was like a huge aha for me. Because it was like when short-term rentals started coming out, they started paying way more. And then when I started understanding new construction, when I moved to Nashville, these people were like knocking down the house. They were buying the houses from me wholesale and knocking it down. And I was like, what is happening here? Because I didn't understand how to run the numbers for a new construction buyer. And so there's like all these areas that I can just add more tools to the tool belt that really helped me as a wholesaler or even as a flipper that may want to exit one of their properties. The other thing that I did was I remember I listed one of my first ever wholesale deals here. I wholesaled it to somebody. And then I looked on the MLS. They listed it the same day and they made $40,000 more than what I wholesaled it to them totally. For. So it's just like knowing the market. I totally didn't know the market. I just learned from all that stuff. Honestly, I got paid $30,000 for that deal to learn.
Like, yeah, so you're not mad, 70, but you're like, I could have made 70. Yeah,
but I'm not doing it again.
That's right.
Same thing. They knocked down the house. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go talk to that guy and figure out how I can find more of these for him and how I can run the numbers.
That's right.
So, I love that. The one thing that you said that in the find the deal portion was money or time. I say that all the time, and I'm so glad you said that because so many people are like, oh, you don't need time or money or anything. You can do this. Like. Anytime somebody says that, I'm like, red flag.
Run,
like, come on. Like, they're just trying to get your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No money, no problem. No, listen. Yeah. No, you're going to spend something. Now, you don't need a lot of money, but even Privy is $149 a month, right? So just, you need something, time or money, or both.
Yeah, we're doing a 5-day challenge right now where we're actually like cold calling leads. And the really cool part is, it's funny because you mentioned Ohio. So we just got on and we said, hey, throw out the city that you want us to do. We'll just pick. I have no idea. And we picked Dayton, Ohio on Monday. We just used batch leads. So we're using batch. We just pulled a list there. I just picked a pre-foreclosure list. We got like 70 some leads, a pre-foreclosure list. We skip traced it. It was like $5. And we've been, and today and yesterday, we were just calling the numbers. We probably only did 30 minutes of calling, but today we got, yesterday we got a lead from a guy who's a wholesaler in the area that was selling a house. And then today we got a lead from a guy who's like fixing it up and he wants to sell this place. And so now we're analyzing the deal and going through it. But like legitimately, we called probably 15 phone numbers and we got like five connects, two potential like leads, like people that at least they're good resources in the area, even if we don't do a deal with them. And then we had one of the people that were on there, it's just free challenge. We had a woman, she started calling. It was a Jacksonville, Florida list that she pulled on the trial. And she's like in a 7-day trial and three phone numbers, two people answered. And now, I mean, she had never done this before. So it was, the whole conversation was horrible. They hung up on her, but she was just like totally learning. So it's just like, the whole thing was like, just like you said, you don't even need like that much money or that much time if you just have a little bit of direction. So
that's right.
What about the exit? Like we kind of talked about it a little bit and touched on it, but maybe you can jump into kind of how important that
is. Well, I think that just is a function of, again, talking to buyers, understanding how you buy. Now, the exit will be is who are you selling it to as a wholesaler, right? So if I'm making the argument as a newer investor, you should wholesale the first handful of deals. You don't have to be a big wholesaler. Wholesale a couple, right? Then you get some certainty, the confidence we talked about. But then you need to understand, you know, is it a better rental or is it a better flip? Because it'll help you actually become a better acquisition person. You will be better at the sales component if you understand what the exit is going to be for the home, right? And then you have to understand, like for me, when I buy a rental, I remodel the whole thing the same way I would as a flip. That's why I need to make sure that it works for both. I'm not a buyer that just throws some paint on the cabinets and, you know, paint on the walls and just move someone in. I'm going to remodel the whole thing no matter what, every single time. And so knowing whether it would be a good flip or a good rental, if you know it's a better rental, then you could probably even offer higher than if you didn't know that, right? And so because of that, and then you would have to go find a landlord type buyer that's looking to buy a rental, right? You wouldn't want to market it as a flip. You'd market it as a great cash flow rental property. You can be better at negotiating a deal if you know how to exit, what the right exit of the asset is, right? And that leads into kind of the last pillar of raising money. If you know how to raise money, then you can figure out what are you going to do with the home? Right. And then lastly, and this is like a super ninja trick, and Bill, I'm sure you do this. Every deal I buy, I wholesale to myself. Hmm. Every deal. I don't make a lot of money, but I basically cover my cost. Right. So it costs us give or take $5,000 every time we get a deal, give or take. Right. Depends on how many deals we're buying. So I assign myself a $5,000 fee to recoup the cost it takes to go get that deal. Right. And for those of you out there that are raising money, buying your own deal and flipping it, that is a huge difference. The thing that I got in trouble with when I was flipping so many deals is cash crunches, right? Things don't sell very quickly. All of a sudden you're putting all this cash out. I can't pay my bills because I have no money to pay me, right? So those $5,000 assignments to myself, buying it as a flip and front loading it, and it could be more, but for those that need the income, that helps with the income. So then you'd say, well, why would I wholesale if I could flip it? Well, then we're talking about contractors and the fact that I'm bald. But I would tell you guys, you know, there is a real proven model that I have rinsed and repeat for years that can create income, active income wholesaling, but also delayed income with flipping. And then ultimately what you really want is to accumulate a whole bunch of wealth and play in the big boy game.
Yeah, I'd like to end on that. So we talked about one thing with the exit. I think in this market, it's really important to squeeze as much juice out of the deal that you get. So I think, you know, just to put like the cherry on top there for you, it was if you understand flip or to wholesale, like which one is going to produce the most amount of profit, because deals are a little bit more challenging to get from time to time. So like right now, our, you know, this market's a little challenging to get deals. You're not going to have tons and tons and tons of them. So if you can figure out how to do that, it's really important. And then I'd love to talk a little bit about that wealth creation, because I think it is really, really important. Like I see a lot of people, they create a business that makes them a lot of money, but they don't have a lot of net worth. So what would you say to that? And what are some of the best ways in this game to actually build net worth while, because I mean, you can have a great flipping business or you're wholesaling hundreds of houses, but if you're not actually taking the money out and doing something with it so that you individually have a net worth to show for it, I see marketers do that. I see real estate investors doing that. I see all kinds of people doing that. And then they think that one day they're going to sell their business, or their business is then going to spit off $3 million and they'll have some money. And then something happens and it doesn't. And now they worked 5 years for free.
Yeah.
So what do you say? What do you say to that? And how do you recommend people do that?
So it is one of the, I would say if there was a mistake that I wish I could take back, and I don't think there is besides this, I wish I started buying rentals earlier. I got too far down the rabbit hole of falling in love with money and making a whole lot of money for a lot of years. And I didn't think past that. I said, this is fun. Let's keep doing this. And I wish at minimum I bought one rental a year, minimum, just one. Like I don't need to be light the world on fire, just go buy one rental a year. And I didn't. And so I would tell everyone, if you can find a way to understand the process, to find the deal, analyze the deal, exit the deal, and raise money, so at least you can go buy one rental yourself a year. Do not use your own money. That is the game. Because what you will see over time is if you did that for 20 years, let's say 20 years, and you got a 20 year mortgage, many of those houses are going to be paid off in full. You're going to have very small loans on many of them. You can either do a couple different things. You can do a cash out refi and put tax-free money in your bank account. You can sell them all off and do a 1031 exchange into a bigger asset class that nets you more money every single month. You could sell it all off, right? Whatever it is. But if you had 20 homes, and let's just lowball it and say it was netting you cumulatively, netting you $1,000 per home, you have 20 grand a month that you're living off of now, right? And if you never used your own money to begin with, that's essentially an infinite return. If you really want to boil it all the way down, you never used your money and now you have a retirement plan of 20 grand a month. Now, you and I, Bill, know in 20 years, 20 grand a month probably won't be that much money. We'll probably have to beat a lot of inflation over the next 20 years to make that like a sexy number. But at the end of the day, that's the one thing you guys got to start doing immediately is learn how to raise money, learn how to buy the right assets, deal with it. Because there is no passive income, not in real estate. It just isn't. I don't care if it's a single family home. I don't care if it's an apartment. It's not passive. Bill actively works in his real estate business. I actively work in my real estate business. None of it is passive. It's just a function of it's not as active as wholesaling or flipping, right? And so, but you need to start doing that immediately, right? And even if, you know, I'm doing a training later just about like be a real estate investor and not have to deal with tenants or contractors. And a lot of people want to be on that training. And the reason why and how you do that is become a lender. Invest in deals, become a lender on deals, get equity for it or don't. Maybe you just want the income, right? Maybe you want an equity piece, right? If you go to myself or you go to Bill and say, hey, I have $250,000 here. Can I get some equity on this thing, whatever it is? I might be open to it. Bill might be open to it, right? But become a lender and get equity on that and get interest on your money. And by the way, go borrow that money and arbitrage that money. You could do it with credit cards. You could do it with banks. You could do it a loan against a 401k. I mean, guys, again, I can't go into all this, but like, this is what Bill and I do. This is what I want you guys to do. I just want you guys to speed up that learning curve to get to where Bill and I are faster, right? But first, it starts with belief. By that, go in wholesale, make it a real deal, et cetera.
I love it. So you have a podcast called Science of Flipping.
I do.
Right. And talk a little bit about your community and some of the things that you talk about on the podcast, maybe what you're best in the world at and yeah. kind of, you know, some of the stuff. Obviously, we talked about a lot of things that you do and do really, really well, but maybe a little bit about that show and your community and all that stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So the show, The Science of Flipping, is actually what started everything for me in the sense of the coaching and the community. I have a science flipping community, and you know, people sometimes overestimate what flipping means. They think rehab flipping. It really means flipping deals, whether it's wholesaling or rehab flipping, right? But it really is a community of active investors, meaning you're going to go out and you're going to do one of the three exit strategies. You're going to wholesale it, you're going to flip it, or you're going to buy it as a rental, right? And I'm going to teach you how to be a tool belt, not a hammer. So I want people to be dynamic real estate investors. I want you to be the whole tool belt, not just a hammer, because if you are a hammer, then everything's a nail. Right. And if everything's a nail, you're very limited on what you're going to be able to be. So I want people to create a whole lot of active income with wholesaling and rehab flipping. But I want you in the same time, like I was just talking about, start to build wealth accumulation. Start it. Right. You don't need to light the world on fire. I just told you about a member who bought four properties in her first year with me. She's a W-2 employee. She's a pharmacist. Right. That's just one of them. But become dynamic in focusing on lead generating, finding the deal, and then you will have options on what you're going to do with it. And so my community is a bunch of, I have two basic levels. I have an intro level, trying to get your first deal, focusing on finding the deal. And then I have more an advanced level. I call it an elite level, where you're already an investor. You're trying to figure out how to put some more processes together so you're not just your head spinning all the time. Right. And so that there's different problems when you're at that stage than there are when you're just trying to get your first deal. And, you know, it the best thing I do in the world is people. I am a people person. I will be able to help people at where they're at to where they want to go. And I can show them how to do it. And I care more about people. So part of my community, just like yours, Bill, is real world. Like, I have a mastermind, a part of my community. It's not separate. It's a part of. We meet every single quarter. For those in my elite, you get to use my cell phone. Here is my cell phone. You need something, call me. I will help you. And so it's about caring about the people first. If you do that, and I know, Bill, you do that. I know you believe in that. If you really care about the people and you don't become the bigger, I'm bigger than you and you can't reach me and you can't have my cell phone. If you don't do that, you can help a whole lot of people. And I'm on a mission to do it. I'm on a mission to help people because there's been a lot of people that have helped me.
Yeah, I pretty much tell anybody any Friday they want to come out to the farm when I'm out there, just put your work boots on and we'll talk whatever you want to talk about.
Come on out, man.
That's right. So, so if they're interested in finding out more information about that, what's the best place to go? How can they do it?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is just go to my Instagram, The Justin Colby. It's really me replying. Ask me questions. You know, get involved with a lot of the things I do. And, even then, you know, if you want to know more and ask me questions, you can go to askjustin.ai. If there is an answer that I have put anywhere on the internet to your question, it will find it and give you my answer. Right. Nice. And so, cool. Again, I'm way ahead of this AI curve. It is amazing. But yeah, askjustin.ai. But really hit me up on Instagram. Happy to help each and every one of you find your first deal, your next deal, raise money. Virtually rehab flip. I know a lot of people get overwhelmed. Like, how do you do that? Systems, process.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't have Instagram and you don't go to the podcast, then just email us. I can put you in contact with Justin. No problem.
Yeah. So, or JustinColby.tv. That goes directly to my YouTube, JustinColby.tv. That's another great resource.
Cool. What did I not ask you that I should have asked you?
Great question. I don't think I've ever been asked that. I don't know if there's something you didn't ask. I kind of mentioned it prior and I've said it kind of even towards this end, but I think that the key to being great at anything is focusing on the people first. If you focus on people and really care, right? Like if you're doing marketing and you really care about the homeowner you're on the phone with and you take your time and you're not in a rush to make an offer, a lot of times that will turn into a deal because you don't look like you're thirsty to get a deal, right? You're caring about the person trying to find the solution. And the same is to be said with if you're building the business, caring about the people you're around and focusing on people. I spend six figures every year. Bill, I know you have the same type of budget to join masterminds. to pay for coaches, to be around the people that are way ahead of me so I can expedite my ability to get there, right? You and I were just with Grant Cardone for quite some time, right? I mean, he has four B's. I like that. I want my first, right? I'm going to get there. And so, but you cut the check to play the game. And I'd tell you guys, focus on people first, build your network, cut the check, be around the people you want. You will get what you want if you stay committed to it and you do the work.
That's awesome. Last question. What do you do for fun? Honestly, because I'm just curious.
These days, my fun is different than if you were to ask me 3 years ago. Right now is kids, all things kids, swimming with my three-year-old, right? Getting her up and running and swimming. You know, Miami's a great city to do a whole lot of fun things, but the reality of it all is it turns into kid weekends all the time. And I just, a typical dad answer, right? It's just, at this point, it's just all kids, all fun with the kids. And my wife and I try to break away. We've gone to Disney World like four times a year for the last 4 years. So that kind of stuff.
Nice. That's awesome. All right. Well, Justin Colby, thank you so much for being on, man. I had a lot of fun. And for everybody's listening, I'll see you on the next show.
Bye. Thanks, dude.